Well, you may have heard the story of Sir Oliver Franks, who was the English ambassador to the US, fresh to the post in 1948. Around, apparently it's a true story, around Christmas time he was delighted to receive a message from his secretary to say that the Washington Post has been in touch to ask what he wanted for Christmas. He was not aware of this long-standing tradition between the ambassador's office and the local press, but being English, he was all too happy to oblige. So he asked for a box of crystallized fruits. On Christmas Eve, the Washington Post published a front-page article entitled What the World Wants for Christmas. The survey showed the answers of the world's leading ambassadors. The French ambassador said that he would like peace throughout the world. The Russian ambassador said he would ask for freedom for all people enslaved to imperialism. The British ambassador said he would love a box of crystallized fruits. Well, that story has very little to do with what I'm about to say. It's completely gratuitous, but I found it was too good to omit. I heard it earlier this month. I want to show you that the message of Christmas, in these next few minutes, I want to show you the message of Christmas is more offensive than the nice, cuddly Christmas cards with the baby that might suggest. You can't stay neutral about it. But I also want to show you that there is something far greater on offer to you than mince pies, mulled wine, Christmas tingle. If any of you got a sort of one of those Bluetooth speakers, I've just imagined sort of putting that Bluetooth speaker in the middle of our sitting room, and it's playing something nice, and then the kids come and would inevitably come and throw something over that that speaker. It would be blankets, cushions, whatever it is, and the sound is muffled. I want to suggest to us that what's happened at Christmas is that the message of the gospel, the message of Christianity, has been, through no intention perhaps, but has been muffled entirely by the traditions that we place on top of it, whatever it is, Father Christmas, presents, carol services, and all of that. And so part of my job is to lift that off in the next few minutes and just help us to see what it is at root that the gospel message is. What is offered to us in Jesus is greater than a carbon-neutral world. There's a lot of talk, isn't there, about... I was just in Marks and Spencer's this morning, and, you know, a magazine with Mr. Attenborough on the front, and, you know, we can save the world if we really try. There's a lot of talk about the carbon-neutral world. What is offered to us in Jesus is far greater than a carbon-neutral world, greater than world peace. Because, and this is what I'm just going to be saying over and over again in the next few minutes, because what is on offer is peace with God. Peace with God under the rule of Jesus. And the thing about peace with God is it's not a temporary peace. It's a peace that will last forever. Can you imagine if you had a peace that would last forever? Peace with God. I don't know where you're coming from and what struggles and weariness we're feeling at this point, but just imagine. In fact, if I dare say, who cares about COVID if you have peace with your Creator forever? It's not a shallow peace, but a deep peace. It's the peace from which all other peace that we long for flows. It is the peace for which you were created and for which I was created. It's the true peace, actually, for which our souls long. And all of us who've been alive any length of time, perhaps beyond our 20s, will know that the career, the relationship, the religion, the money has not satisfied the longing of our souls. Jesus offers you the peace that will satisfy your soul. Would you just look down at this passage of scripture with me that you have on this handout, this Isaiah passage? Now, there was a prophet called Isaiah. He was writing in 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus came. He spent his life speaking to the Jewish nation at that time. And he said to them, effectively, he said to them one thing over in a number of different ways. He said, you're about to go into exile, that is into Babylon, for your sin, he said to the Jewish people. And there's nothing you can do about that. But, Isaiah said, sometime after that, the sun will rise. Just have a look down at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. In other words, Isaiah said, look beyond, sometime after your deportment to Babylon, and the sun will rise for humanity in darkness, literally under the shadow of death. Don't we need that kind of sunrise? Hope in the face of death. It's our greatest problem. When will the sun rise? Isaiah said, 700 years before Jesus. When will it rise? Verse 6. When a child is born, a son is given. Who would this child be? He would be a king, verse 6. The government shall be upon his shoulder. In other words, the government of the universe. He would be Lord of all, over every man, woman, and child who's ever lived. Why? Because he would be, verse 6, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He would be bringing God's kingdom, which would last forever. And what kind of a kingdom would that be? Verse 7, Of the increase of his government and of peace, there would be no end. In his kingdom, there would be everlasting peace, Isaiah said. Now, can I speak to you wherever you're coming from? I know we've got people coming probably from all kinds of different backgrounds, all faiths and none. Whoever you are, don't you find these words extraordinary? Written 700 years before Jesus came. You've got to do something with that, I suggest. Many people think that Christianity is a fairy tale and, you know, the sort of nativity plays and the Christmas bump, you know, we've got nothing to thank for that, have we? I mean, that doesn't help the issue. Many people think that Christianity is a fairy tale. It's irrelevant. They won't even read about it. There's no evidence for it. Well, here, in your hands, God is saying exactly what he would do 700 years in advance, so that when this baby came, we would know who he was. Jesus did not come out of the blue. I wonder if you've realized that. His birth, as we know, was announced by angels. Perhaps you think that's unlikely. But of course, if there were no angels, we'd be asking, where are the angels to announce this kind of king? If he is God's everlasting king, where are the angels? Of course there are angels, you might say. Of course there are angels. This baby grew up and his words have filled the world. They've captured millions. Millions. His words. Why? Because he's a wonderful counselor. He grew up and he did the works of mighty God. Now, this is Luke's gospel that you've got. I'd love you, it'd be great, take it away and read it. It is written as an historical account by eyewitnesses of what they say they saw Jesus do. He spoke to the wind and the waves, be still, and creation obeyed his voice. Imagine someone just speaking to the Thames, walking across Millennium Bridge, stop. And the whole Thames stops as a wall of water. Jesus displayed the Creator's power. He drove out disease. He raised the dead with a word. And then there is an empty tomb. He died for sin. He rose again. Why? Well, because, verse 7, of his government and of peace there will be no end. He would rule the universe forever. He had to rise from the dead. Now, can I suggest there are some things you can't stay neutral about because they're too momentous, if true. I mean, we love to sort of sit on the fence, don't we, with religion. That's something that we hear a lot. But there are some things that are too momentous, if true, to stay neutral about. And I suggest the Christian message is one of those things. You've either got to be offended by it or you've got to follow it, believe it. I recently heard a story, apparently it's true, of a soldier in the American Civil War who declared himself to be neutral. So he put on a grey jacket and blue trousers and went into the battlefield, and they shot him from both sides. There are some things that are too important to stay neutral about, and I'm suggesting to you that the Christian message is one of those, because it's a message about Jesus Christ being king over all of us forever, one way or another. But I want to focus on those words in verse 7, and of peace. Under his rule, there will be peace that will last forever. The peace that Isaiah is talking about is peace with God. It is a peace that we will never find being talked about in our newspapers. But it is the true peace, the lasting peace, from which all other peace will flow. It is the peace that our souls long for. Someone asks, why do I need peace with God? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Well, we need peace with God because we're not at peace with him naturally. COVID has been one of the many reminders of this, but the fact that we all die is the main one. What we see in the world around us, in our newspapers, are signs and indications to us that something is wrong between us and our Creator. Why? Sin. None of us have lived a good life. I haven't lived a good life. We may have been good sometimes to our nearest and dearest, even to the odd stranger, maybe to many strangers. But we've not been good to our loving Creator, God says. We've pushed out our Creator from our lives. That's the thing that we've all done. That's what the Bible calls sin. We said, God, out of my life, I want to be in charge. That's what I've done. That's what we've all done. And that's before we really examine whether we've loved each other. God's standards are far higher than ours. Perfection. None of us have lived a good life. And so naturally, we're under the judgment of God. We cannot save ourselves. We desperately need peace with God. If you think about the analogy of a doctor, of an illness, you get symptoms and you have the deep and you have the root cause, right? I'm not a doctor, but I think that those are the basics. You have a symptom on the outside, and the root cause. What we're talking about here is what we see around in the world: the war, struggle, suffering, the weariness. These are symptoms. These are like the patch on the skin. The root issue is our need for peace with God. And that is why Jesus, the Prince of Peace, did not roll into Jerusalem with a UN peacekeeping force, or the equivalent, whatever that would have been, armoured vehicles. No, it wouldn't have been armoured vehicles. Horses. He didn't come to secure a temporary peace that could never last, that could never reach the root. That would be like putting a sticking plaster on a cancerous mole. He came to deal with the root. That is why if you pick up each of these gospel accounts of his life, you will find that they all climax with his death. Why? Because he's our Prince of Peace who came to die in our place to secure the peace that we really need. He came to deal with the root problem. The Bible says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you know where that comes from? Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came. Why did he die? So that we could have peace with God forever. That is the peace that will last forever. I was looking up images for the Prince of Peace on Google. Google is pretty rubbish for Google search or image search for many things, but for this I thought maybe it'd be useful. Google gave me a white man with a beard and a benign smile, so I scrolled down and it gave me many more white men with beards and benign smiles. And I thought to myself, it should have given me the Son of God hanging on a cross with the superscription, Prince of Peace, because that is where he won peace for anyone who would come to him and to come under his rule. Just imagine for a second what it might mean to have peace with your Creator. With your Creator. Now, I mean, there might be people here who don't believe in God. Well, just imagine what it might mean to have peace with the God who made you. To be able to come back into his loving arms as a child might run into the arms of their dad. All hostilities ceased. Only love, grace, forgiveness. And that is the peace that is so precious to me. I became a Christian when I was 14, hearing that message and able to run as a sinner into the arms of God was, and still is, heaven on earth. And the peace with God is the peace from which all other peace flows. It means, of course, peace from death. He will get you through. God's our Creator. If he's your heavenly Father, death isn't a problem for him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It means peace ultimately from suffering. It means peace beyond this broken, weary life, all the way into eternity. Peace with God is the peace from which all other peace flows. So that the Bible says that those who have come under the rule of Jesus, that is those who have repented of their sin, stopped running away from God, who've surrendered themselves to Jesus' rule, well, those people, you not only have peace with God now, but you have a hope to look forward to, a precious hope of his everlasting kingdom, verse 7, where every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more dying, no more weariness. And Jesus proved that he can bring that kingdom when he stepped into earth and all disease was driven away and death was defeated. Where this old broken world is a distant memory. Many people think that Christianity is about being good enough for God. I wonder if that's what you think. I was chatting to a good friend the other day. We were at university together, and he's not a Christian. He's a top lawyer in the city. He did an English degree. And I said to him, what do you think the Christian message is? And he said, what almost everyone I ask that question says, just be a decent person, I suppose. Just be good enough for God. Understandably, that's what he said. That is a prevailing understanding of what the Christian message is. Actually, that is the every man's religion. Whatever religion you follow, just be good enough. Be a decent person. Doesn't matter what religion you follow, and everything's going to be okay. That is not what Christianity says. The Bible says none of us have been decent. We're not good. We can't be good. It's about moral failures, sinners like you and me, coming as we are to God and finding true peace by the grace of God under the rule of Jesus. None of us have lived a good life. I know I haven't. But God says, that's okay. Come to me as you are. Isn't that wonderful news? If we are willing to turn around, what the Bible calls repent, come back to God, come back to my Creator, where we will find the grace of God, the loving welcome of God, the ceasing of all hostilities under the rule of Jesus. But there is a warning. There is a warning. If we're not willing to do that in this life, we will never find peace. And we will have to face Jesus not as our Prince of Peace, but as our Judge. I was chatting to a guy after one of these talks the other day. He said, I'm not a religious person, and so I'm not interested. And that's something that that many people say, and is believed in the offices around us. Now, I didn't say this. Perhaps I should have done, perhaps I shouldn't. It's a bit rude. But I should have said, it's totally irrelevant whether or not you're a religious person. It doesn't matter. Christianity is not about religion. It's about reality. It's a claim about what is real. I hope you can see that and begin to see that and take this away and read it as history. It's about a baby who did not come out of the blue, but who came as God's part of God's plan to bring his kingdom fully and finally. The question is not, am I religious? But am I someone who cares about reality and truth? And a word to those who are Christian people here, and I'm sure there are some. It's easy, isn't it, for Christmas to be about what other people need to believe. Well, you have peace with God forever, because Jesus is your Prince of Peace. That is your salvation in a nutshell. That is the salvation from which everything else flows, peace with God. And may I suggest that that is worth punching the air in celebration this Christmas.